Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Kunti Maharani, and we discussed in the last session about how Kunti saw her sons becoming glorious and getting and engaging themselves in glorifying the Supreme Lord. So she saw the glory of her sons and the glory of her Lord when the Rajasuya Yagya was performed, when Yudhishthira was coronated as the emperor of the world, and then he declared Krishna to be the recipient of the Agra Puja, to be the foremost person in the whole universe. At that time, Duryodhana was there, and Duryodhana could not tolerate the opulence of the Pandavas, and he came back and arranged for a gambling match in which the Pandavas lost everything. And Kunti was a passive observer in all this, and she was devastated. She could not intervene because when the family elders were not saying anything, she couldn't say anything. And she was utterly grief-struck. Just a few hours ago, her sons were the emperors of the world, and now they were mendicants, having been deprived of all the kingdom and having taken vows to kill the Kauravas. Bhima took a vow to kill Duryodhana, Dushasana, and Arjuna took a vow to kill Karna, and Sahadev took a vow to kill Shakuni. So when the Pandavas were going to the forest, at that time Kunti readied herself to go to the forest with them as she had gone earlier. So at that time Vidura approached Yudhishthira and told him, "Please, Kunti is too aged now. She will not be able to manage the austerities of forest life. Let her stay with me." So Yudhishthira agreed. Yudhishthira was completely devastated at the turn of events. At that time Draupadi, she came and fell at the feet of Kunti. Kunti lifted her up and embraced her, and her own eyes were filled with tears. And Kunti told Draupadi, "Please take care especially of Nakula and Sahadev, and especially they are very dear to me." Because Madri had asked her to take care of the children, and she knew that the Pandavas, the elder three were her children, the younger two were Madri's. But she, because they did not have their mother, she took special care of them, and in her absence she requested Madri, Draupadi especially, to take care of those two. And Draupadi nodded her head. Even at this time of great crisis, such was the magnanimity of Kunti that she was thinking of her duty, and she was thinking of how her duty, her promise to her co-wife who had long deceased, would be taken care of now. And then the 12 years passed in great distress. Kunti would perform fasts and do austerities to invoke good fortune upon her sons. And she would pray to Vishnu, pray to her worshipable deity Krishna. And she had met Krishna during the Rajasuya sacrifice. But after that, Krishna again met the Pandavas. He met them in the forest. He went to Kamyavan where the Pandavas were there, and he was extremely angry at that time to see the kind of sufferings that the Pandavas had to go through. But then she could not see her beloved Lord. And in 13th year, when the Pandavas were in Ajnatvas, Kunti had no idea where they were, what they were doing, how they were living. She was in terrible distress thinking of the situations that they must be undergoing. And then at that time, finally, after 13 years, when the Pandavas were discovered, it was in a deadly confrontation at Virat. She got the news, and she also got the news that Duryodhana was not ready to compromise, to give them the kingdom. War was inevitable. As the messengers were going from here and there, Drupada's Brahmin came with a message. Then Sanjay went with a message, and then Krishna himself came. Kunti was fervently praying that her sons would be safe and sound. And then when Krishna finally came to Vidura's house, and he met Kunti, And Kunti came to her, tears in her eyes, and she said, "My sons, they have suffered so much. Oh, Krishna." Now, Kunti had although she knew Krishna was her Lord, at the same time, she also knew that Krishna was the Supreme, her relative, and in terms of relatives, he was her nephew. So she had a very unique relationship. Unlike Yashoda Mai, for whom Krishna's divinity was almost completely covered over, only on very rare occasions when Krishna would show the Vishwarupa in his the universe in his mouth or something like that. At that time, Yashoda Mai would momentarily remember that this is God. But other times, her love would eclipse her awareness of Krishna's divinity. But in Kunti's case, she was aware of Krishna's divinity. At the same time, she also acted with him as if Krishna was her nephew. And it is a very curious and fascinating blend, the way they related with each other. So Kunti told Krishna very significantly. She said that Yudhishthira should not go soft. Krishna, you have come as a messenger, but I know Duryodhana will not listen to you. And tell Yudhishthira that he should not be afraid to fight the war, because he has to avenge the insult that has been done to Panchali. For that reason alone, he has to fight. And if he does not fight, then Panchali will stay unavenged. And that great dishonor that has been done to our house, it will stay forever as a dark mark in history on us. So please tell Yudhishthira, do not compromise. And Krishna consoled Kunti. Kunti broke down into tears. And Krishna could see that Kunti had been performing great austerities. Her body had become emaciated with age, with anxiety, with separation from her sons. Vidura had been taking good care of her, but still she had been doing so much austerity, fast, doing various kinds of fast. And finally, when the time to meet her sons had come, she knew that she would not be able to meet them. Yudhishthira and all the Pandavas and Draupadi had sent messages for her through Krishna. She heard all the messages and she replied back to them. And the next morning, when Krishna decided to, so Krishna came the previous evening, he stayed overnight at Vidura's house. Then he went to the Guru assembly, spoke the peace message, which Duryodhana did not listen to. And then Krishna showed the Virat Rupa, but still that had no influence on Duryodhana. And finally, Krishna departed, just left. And then he went to Kunti and Vidura. Vidura had, of course, been there in the assembly only. Went to Kunti, and Vidura's wife was there, and Vidura came with him. And then they reported to Kunti what had happened. Kunti was not surprised. She said, "Yes, that was Duryodhana's obstinacy. And now, Krishna, that you tried and you failed, please tell Yudhishthira that he should not go gentle with the Pandavas, with the Kauravas." Now it's interesting, Kunti is a side figure, relatively not a very prominent figure in the Mahabharata, in as far as the storyline goes. She has a prominent role in the Adi Parva, and after the Sabha Parva, she does not have much of a prominent role. And then after that, she comes only back in the Stri Parva. So when the war is going on, Kunti just gets news of what is happening day after day after day, till finally she gets the news that the Pandavas have won the war. But before they can celebrate the joy of the Pandavas' victory, she also gets the news that all the remaining warriors, including her grandsons, she had come to know about the death of Abhimanyu, the brutal slaughter of Abhimanyu on the 13th day. But then she came to know that all her other grandsons, all the sons of Draupadi through the five Pandavas, and the other sons also, Arjuna's son Iravan and Bhima's son Ghatotkach, all of them were dead. None of them had survived. And only through Inuttara's womb, the son that survived was Parikshit, who had not yet been born and who had not yet been named. So the victory was like defeat, for they had lost everything. And as Kunti went to the banks of the Ganga, where the funeral pyres were going to be held and to be lit, and all the warriors had to be offered the last waters. Her heart was shattered. Shattered not only because of the colossal bloodshed that had happened, but because of a secret sorrow that she alone had suffered. What was that secret sorrow? That was that Karna had been her son and that she had not told it to anyone. So Kunti, before the war started, she had occasional roles to play, but one very significant role to play she had. When Karna first appeared in the martial exhibition and Kunti saw him, she saw the kavach and she saw the kundala, the kavach and the kundala, and the impenetrable armor and the earrings. And she immediately recognized, oh, this is my lost son. And she saw that he had become powerful, handsome, chivalrous, heroic. Her heart on one side swelled with pride and joy to see that her lost son was good. But at the same time, she was heartbroken because she saw that her son was about to fight with her other son. And two of her sons were going to have the bittermost rivalry. She fainted in horror and dismay. Vidura, ever attentive, sprinkled water on her face and revived her and asked her what was the matter. Vidura was sharp and perceptive, but Kunti had a secret which she could share with no one. The shame of having born a child before her marriage would be too much, and she knew that nobody would be able to understand it. She could not speak it, and yet she was torn. Whom should she pray for? Whose well-being should she desire? Karna and Arjuna, they were both her sons, both parts of her heart, and yet they were pitted against each other. That day she waited with great anxiety to see whether a duel would take place. And when the sun set before the duel started, she heaved a sigh of relief and she went away, thanking the gods that her son was alive, but at the same time agonized at the way her son, she could see one by one how Duryodhana manipulated Karna, offered him the kingdom, offered him his friendship. And then she saw Bhima speaking harsh words to Karna, not knowing that Karna was his elder brother, the eldest of all his brothers. She was mortified, and she knew that when Karna had sided with Duryodhana, Karna had been hurt by the words of Arjuna and Bhima. She knew that the rivalry that had happened between them was going to be lifelong. And as she observed with greater and greater dismay and distress how that rivalry became worse and worse. And finally, just before the final battle was to take place, Kunti knew that Arjuna and Karna would fight in a war till death. And she realized that now, better to lose her honor than to lose one of her sons. And what she had kept hidden, she decided she would tell. She knew that Karna was a Danavir. He would give great charity. And one day, she decided to approach Karna. Young unmarried ladies could not go out alone, but Kunti was an elderly lady. She was a widow. She had relatively much more freedom. And she went to the banks of the river on the outskirts of Hastinapur. And there Karna every morning would enter into the water, and with his hands held high, he would offer prayers to Surya. And he would perform this puja intensely for a long time daily. And Kunti waited and waited and waited. The sun was beating on her. And she was praying up to the sun, please let our son see good sense. Please let him give up his animosity against his brothers. And as Karna came out, he turned around and he saw an elderly lady over there. Surprised, he knew at that time many Brahmanas would come to him for charity and he would give charity. But he had never seen a lady, an elderly lady. By her bearing, she looked regal. And as he looked closely, he saw this was the Pandava's mother, Kunti. He was intrigued and perturbed. He immediately approached her and he said, Oh, honorable lady, what can I do for you? He could see from the sweat on her face that she had been waiting for him for a long time under the sun. What can this son of a Suta do for you? Kunti's eyes were on the ground. She could not look at Karna, knowing that she had to tell him a truth that would cause his whole world to spin apart. And she looked up with a small voice. She looked up into the eyes of Karna and she said, Oh son, do not call yourself the son of a Suta anymore. You are my son, begotten through the great celestial deity, Surya Dev. As she spoke, her heart trembled within her. She looked at Karna's eyes, hoping that Karna would understand the truth, understand her situation, and understand the right course of action to follow. Karna looked at her, shocked, disbelieving, his eyes opened wide. How is it possible? Kunti, in a trembling voice, told her the whole story. And she told him that till now, I was afraid to tell this to you. But now I know that you and Arjuna were going to fight with each other. And I cannot tolerate the thought of you killing each other. One of you dying. Both of you are my sons. Both of you are part of my heart. Please, do not fight against the Pandavas. Join their side. You are not a Suta. You are the eldest of the Pandavas. Please join their side. She begged to Karna. Karna was overwhelmed with emotion. All his life, he had felt a special attraction to the sun, not knowing why. Now he understood that illustrious deity was his father. And yet he thought of what Kunti was asking. And he hardened himself. All your life, you denied me the honor that was mine. All my life, I had to suffer the taunts of the world because they all called me Sutaputra. And now, O lady, when your son is in threat from me, you are coming to me. I cannot believe that you have my best interests at heart. I believe that you have come to me just for the protection of your son. Kunti shook her head, tears in her eyes. How could he understand what agony her heart had gone through when she had put off her child? How she had fervently prayed to the gods for the safety of her child? How she had rejoiced and how she had panicked when she had seen Karna again? She again beseeched Karna, Oh Karna, I come here only for your good. Karna, however, had steeled his heart against her. And he told that you are concerned about losing your son. So I promise you that you are known to have had 5 sons. You will always have 5 sons. I will not kill any of your other sons except Arjuna. With him I have a sworn rivalry. And we cannot avoid a fight. I'll fight and I'll either kill him or he will kill me. Either way, you will always have 5 sons. I cannot do anything more for you. Kunti looked at her son. She saw the hard lines on her face and on his face and she knew that he could not change. He would not change his mind. She opened her arms, begging Karna to come in. Karna, against his will, ran in and embraced her. Kunti bathed the shoulders with her tears. And then, when she took a long look at his face, and then, Oh Karna, now I leave. And Karna knew that they were unlikely to meet. Kunti knew that although Karna was heroic, he had no chance when he was fighting against Arjuna, who was with Krishna. She knew this was the last meeting with her son. And as she went, now after the war was over, as she was going to the Ganga, she was remembering her whole life, and she was remembering how she had her last meeting with Karna. Her first and last meeting it was. And she now again had to steal her heart. And she came to, as Yudhishthira was offering waters for all the deceased relatives, Yudhishthira, she called him and she said, "Oh Yudhishthira, you have to offer waters to one more person. Offer waters for Karna also. He was your oldest brother, was begotten by Surya in me before I was married." Yudhishthira was shocked. He says, Oh mother, what is this I am hearing? Karna was my brother. From the first time when I saw him, I held him in mortal fear. And Yudhishthira looked around at his brothers. They were hearing and they were also shocked. Oh Yudhishthira, I couldn't tell this to you. Did he know this? Alas, how could I have fought against my own brother? He said, "If only I had known, then I would have given the kingdom to him. And we could have avoided this war. Alas, we have killed our own brother." Yudhishthira started lamenting. Kunti said, Oh, Yudhishthira, do not lament like this. Karna knew the truth. I went and told it to him. And I begged him not to fight against you. But his mind was set. He would not have listened. He knew. And then Kunti told him that he had given his word that he would not kill anyone except Arjuna. And Yudhishthira remembered the 17th day when he had fought against Karna, and Karna had wounded him mortally but had not killed him. He understood what had happened. And he says, "Oh mother, how much must you have suffered in secrecy, keeping the secret away from the world for so long. But oh mother, I wish you had told me this. We could have avoided so much bloodshed. You should have trusted me with this." Kunti told, "I wanted to tell you, but Karna told me not to tell you. Karna knew your virtuous nature and he knew that if you came to know, you would offer the kingdom. And he would have to offer the kingdom. You would offer the kingdom to him and he would have to offer the kingdom to Duryodhana because he was in Duryodhana's retinue. And he knew in his heart that your claim was righteous. And he knew that destiny had willed in such a way that the war could not have been avoided." So Yudhishthira could not control his dismay and his anger. And he said, "Oh mother, you should have told us this. Because you kept the secret, I curse now that in the future women will not be able to keep any secret." Kunti stayed on as her son, watched on as her sons offered the waters to her deceased son Karna. And then after the coronation took place, Kunti could have lived happily as the dowager. Dowager is the mother of the ruling head. So she could have lived, but she decided that she would much rather perform austerities. And she departed from the world. Along with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, when they took Vanaprastha and renounced the world, Kunti also went with her. And Kunti, she departed where? She was an exalted devotee of the Lord and remembering the Lord. At an external level, the Mahabharata depicts as if things end in tragedy. We will discuss about this. But the Mahabharata depicts that beyond this world, there is a higher world. And in that higher world, things happen eternally. And there, that is where we belong. So, Kunti stayed in the forest, performed austerities. And to an external vision, there was an accidental fire in the hut she was living in. And there she departed. But actually, it was all the plan of the Lord by which she could attain the immortal destinations to which she belonged. And to which she belonged because of her devotion. The same Kunti who is depicted as a mature statesmanly lady in the Mahabharata, a more intimate picture is offered in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter of the 1st canto, verses 18 to 43, are the prayers of Kunti. And it's a choice prayer. So the most extraordinary prayers, is the first long prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in these prayers, she reveals her innermost heart, how she endured all the austerities, right from having to live in the forest with her husband, then to beget children through others, then to become a widow, then to accompany her sons through the forest, living incognito, then to be bereaved from her sons while she was in Rudra's house, and then to endure the news of her sons battling with each other and killing each other. How did she live through it all? She tells this in her prayers. So in these prayers, she reveals her heart. And these prayers are classics. They are filled with devotional import, intense devotional emotion, as well as profound philosophical conviction. And she offers these prayers to Krishna when Krishna, after Yudhishthira has been installed as the king, when Krishna is about to depart. At that time, Krishna has come near her chariot, and the picture that we see behind is Kunti offering her prayers. Krishna is seated in his chariot, and Kunti comes in front of him and speaks. And what does she speak? Beautiful prayers. She says that, Namaste Purusham Dvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. Namaste, my dear Lord, I offer you obeisances, you are transcendental. And she describes how you descend to the world to perform bhakti, how you are very difficult to understand for even learned people, what to speak of unintelligent people like us, how you are covered over and ordinary people cannot understand who you are, how you have protected Devaki, how you have protected me and my family again and again and again, Vishan Mahagne Purushad Darshana. And then now she's offered one of the most extraordinary prayers that has been offered in all the prayers that have ever been offered to the Lord. She prays, my dear Lord, let those calamities come again and again. Vipadha santuta shashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyada punarbhav darshanam. Oh my dear Lord, let all those calamities that we have suffered, let them come again. Because when these calamities come, we remembering you intensely, and when we remember you intensely, we have your darshan in our innermost core of our hearts. And not only that, you also come to meet us. But now when things are settled, now when we have become comfortably situated, now you are leaving us. Better that there be calamities in our lives and you be with us, than rather we have prosperity and you away from us. And then she talks about profound philosophy, describing why the Lord descends to this world. Ultimately, it is to give people for all time to come relishable pastimes to speak and hear and thus purify themselves. And then she remembers how when Krishna is going, her initial, she starts her prayers with the request, Krishna, don't go away. But then she starts thinking that actually Krishna has been away from the Yadus for so long. And she herself, she is also a Yadu. She is a Yadu princess, Kunti Bhoj and Vasudev. She is connected to both of them. Both are Yadavas. She is thinking they are all separated from Krishna. And if I ask Krishna to stay here, then they will stay, their separation will go on and they will be suffering. But if I ask Krishna to go, then the Pandavas and all of us will suffer. So both sides are my relatives, what should I do? And she offers a classic prayer. She says, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Drudham Pandushu Vrishnishu. That let my attachment be only to you, not to the Pandavas and not to the Vrishnis. And then she says that, my dear Lord, just as the Ganga always flows towards the ocean, let my heart always flow towards you. And then rather than praying to the Lord to stay back, she simply concludes with a prayer in which she offers obeisance. Sri Krishna Krishna Sakarishna Rishabhavani Druga Rajanya Vamshidahanana Pavargavirya Govinda Godija Surarati Haravatara Yogeshwarakhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. My dear Lord, I offer obeisances to you who are the all-attractive one. You who are the friend of Krishna, of Draupadi, you who are the friend of Krishna. She glorifies in various ways and says, I offer my obeisances to you. And Krishna smiles at her and accepts her prayers. So this is Kunti. Even after going through so many distresses, she's praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, give me distress. Why? Because in the distress, I will remember you. Actually, Kunti Maharani is considered to be an incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. Why the success potency? Because although she was in one sense unsuccessful, in the sense that she became a widow, her sons were troubled so much, and she had to be separated from her sons. But still, her success was that through it all, she remembered Krishna constantly, and by that remembrance, she achieved the supreme glory. This is the glory of Kunti Devi. And she is the most not so well known or much spoken about characters, but she is one of the most illustrious characters in the Mahabharata, who stands as a sterling example of motherhood and devotion. Thank you. Hare Krishna.